welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ron Long, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. And before we jump into the news, I do want to say I hope you're all staying cool right now. And later in the show, we're going to be talking about that beating the heat. But for now, let's jump into the news where we head to Florida, where a series of recent alligator attacks in Florida is serving as a reminder for residents, visitors, and outdoor enthusiasts to stay alert around lakes, rivers, canals, and other freshwater areas during the summer months. Over a two-week period recently, three serious attacks were reported. A 19-year-old snorkeler survived an attack in the Rainbow River near Dunedin after suffering injuries to his head and neck. A week later, a California woman was fatally attacked while swimming in a river near Orlando. And on July 3rd, a 71-year-old North Fort Myers man survived after fighting off an alligator that grabbed his leg while he was fishing behind his home. Now, wildlife experts say summer is the time of year when encounters are most likely. More people are spending time on the water while alligators are active following breeding season and females are protecting nests and young. Recent drought conditions may also be concentrating alligators into remaining waterways, increasing the chances of human encounters. So just think of that. And so you're aware, Florida is in a drought condition. Florida is home to more than 1 million alligators found in all 67 counties. Although attacks on people remain relatively uncommon, officials encourage everyone to assume all freshwater bodies may contain alligators, avoid swimming in unfamiliar areas, keep pets away from the water's edge, and remain especially cautious at dawn, dusk, and during nesting season. Experts say awareness and respecting wildlife habitat remain the best ways to prevent dangerous encounters while enjoying Florida's outdoors.
Now, I have a hard enough time when I'm fishing and I see a snake like 50 miles away, much less a gator that would come up on the shore. This is incredible. You said one elderly man was fishing
in his backyard
and it grabbed him by the leg. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, these, and like we said, it even involved the death of one young woman. So this is just good to be aware. If you are visiting Florida this time of year or any other of our southeastern states that have an alligator problem, we'll put it that way, be vigilant.
And if you want to know kind of what alligators are like, go to thebendshow.com. Is that the website, right? Thebendshow.com?
Yes.
Head to thebendshow.com, go in the archives, go back, oh, I don't know, 6-8 weeks, something like that. We had a couple interviews with Matt Tarr when he went gator hunting, and he shared what it's actually like and a whole new respect that he has for gators, of how they hunt and everything he learned. It was a very interesting episode. Just want to throw that out.
So again, that website is thebendshow.com. Now we turn our sights to New Mexico. A New Mexico landowner has been arrested and charged with 5 felony counts of aggravated assault after authorities say he repeatedly threatened anglers who were legally fishing and wading in the Pecos River. According to the New Mexico Department of Justice, Eric Briones allegedly confronted multiple fishermen over several years while carrying firearms, despite court rulings affirming the public's right to access and wade in many of the state's rivers. Witnesses reported that Briones made threats suggesting he could shoot across the river and warned anglers they would be responsible if they were hit. One widely cited incident captured on video in 2023 allegedly shows Briones holding a shotgun and telling a fishing guide, "I'm going to start target practicing," while the guide stood in the river. The arrest comes amid a broader legal battle over public access to New Mexico waterways. Courts, including the New Mexico Supreme Court and later federal courts, have repeatedly upheld the public's right to wade and fish in streams that cross private property, provided people do not trespass on private land to gain access. Authorities also accuse Briones of ignoring court orders by installing barbed wire fences, using heavy equipment to alter the river channel, and creating hazards that could endanger anglers. State officials say these actions were intended to discourage public use of the river. New Mexico Attorney General Raul Torres said the case is about enforcing both public access laws and criminal laws against threats of violence. The arrest marks the latest chapter in New Mexico's ongoing debate over private property rights and public access to rivers, with state officials emphasizing that disagreements over access laws do not justify intimidation or armed confrontations. According to KOB 4 News, the New Mexico Attorney General had filed a motion to keep Briones in jail until trial. A hearing on that motion was canceled and Briones is now being released. Court records show Briones must wear an ankle monitor after release. The records also say he cannot return to his residence on the Pecos River before his trial.
Now, there is a lot going on with this one. There's an awful lot. The first is the fact of brandishing a firearm, which is a display of deadly force. That's the first one. So this guy could have so much thrown at him just for that fact. It doesn't matter if it's a shotgun. It doesn't matter if it's a pistol. It doesn't matter if it's a long rifle. The law is the law. Excuse me. You're brandishing a firearm. The other thing that's really important here, and that is on a state-by-state basis where you say that the New Mexico Supreme Court and federal courts have repeatedly upheld the public's right to wade and fish in streams that cross private property, provided people do not trespass on private land to gain access. That's an extremely important part there, too. Now, I understand, as a private landowner, I'm kind of getting heated about this one too. I get it where you want your privacy, right? And you don't want people coming close to your private land. But if it is a sportsman's right to be in said waterway and have access to said waterway, as long as they're not crossing your private land to gain access, they do, according to like New Mexico and in our state, you have a right to the waterway to enjoy it.
Yeah, this is a big one. I think it'll be an interesting one to follow. My family's land has quite a bit of river bottom. Over the years, of course, we've had people want to canoe and kayak through the ranch going on the river. They do have to access it on public land or, you know, to enter it. We do not allow them to come onto the private land to access right. the river. But we have been understanding, of course, of when they are floating through, it's not our fault that we have to put fences up river crossings because we run cattle, that they might have to get up and walk with their kayak a little bit to go under or get around said a fence. But by and large, most people stop or they get a hold of us ahead of time and ask permission, which goes a long way with private property. Again, as a landowner, if you're going to be doing some of these activities, I still encourage being a better person and asking for permission first.
Versus just, you know,
bowing up and saying this is the law.
This is my right. So let me ask you this. We're going to dive down this a little bit because you have had and your family have had more than your share, as you said, the river that goes through your family's property. When you would see somebody canoeing or something like that, did that instantly cause the hackles to go up?
Yes, of course. Honestly. Instantly, as soon as we discover somebody is out there canoeing, kayaking, going on the river, and they are crossing through our place, we do end up going down and stopping them and asking them because they had to, at certain areas, even with the water low, say you're July, August, you're going to have to get out of your kayak and canoe, go on the shore, go around, as we say, portage, get back into the water again. You're going to end up stepping on ground at some point. So you might as well just come forward and say, hey, is it okay? I'm going to be fishing down here. I'm going to be doing X, Y, or Z.
Being polite about that.
Yes. Yeah. Be ahead of the game versus have the landowner come down on their four-wheeler UTV and say, what are you doing?
They're mad and all of this. Yes. Yeah. You know, I get it. There's a lot of emotion and dynamic that goes into this. You see a lot of reels on social media of the same thing. Somebody that is fishing and they're going and casting under somebody's dock. And then you see that person is angry and upset. You can't fish near my dock. So there are different rules and regulations in place depending upon what type of waterway it is in your state. You really need to know that stuff. But I do like what you said of if somebody wants to enjoy that waterway and they know that it's going to be passing through private property, maybe in just going and visiting with that landowner first and saying, hey, is it okay if we grab and we kind of go fish over here? We promise we will stay in the boat. We won't get on your land or anything like that. And that can lead to a good conversation of you saying, hey, be careful when you go around this bend. It's a water gap. We've got it fenced off because it's a pasture. Be careful, you know, and then everybody gets along and enjoys the day.
Exactly. Maybe be ahead of the game and say, hey, while I'm out there, is there anything you want me to keep an eye out for? I'm just saying, be a better person. All right, on that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. When we come back, we got more of The Ben Show.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Hello and welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair, and I'm just going to put it this way. Is there a top to the top on the heat? Because it is hotter than things that I'm not allowed to say on air.
If you are within the sound of our voice, I guarantee you're probably dancing with record high temperatures this weekend.
I'm not okay with this. I am not okay with this, especially since we are not going to be on the lake, in the water, in a river, on a kayak. Get what I'm saying?
I have solutions, potentially. I did a little research for you on, are these fake ways to cool off? Are they science-based ways to cool off? The old wives' tales? And it's actually wives' tales. I thought it was wise tales.
You didn't know it was wives' tales?
But it was wives' tales. So I did a little research on trying to help you cool off. Is this a wives' tale or is there scientific research that says this is a way to cool off? Taking a cold shower.
Yes, that is a way to cool off, I would say.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a way to cool off.
I've lived in houses that you had to do that.
But according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they say that obviously cold water initially is a way to cool off, but the cold water can actually cause your blood vessels to constrict, which traps heat inside of your core and ironically makes you feel warmer afterwards.
Oh, no kidding.
So just keep that in mind. Okay, what about this one? Those of you that really, really, really like a cold pillow.
That's
is
you.
That is me. Is that a way of actually trying to beat the heat?
I don't think so.
Now, you can toss your pillowcase in the freezer, which I have done, and it can feel very comfortable.
You've put your right whole away. Pillow in the freezer, not just the pillowcase.
Yeah, the whole pillow. Because I like to sleep on a cold pillow, but it's obviously temporary. So you can try that as a way to cool off.
And what did the CDC say about that?
Well, they just said you can try it. Oh, okay. You know, it doesn't last long. How about this one? Skinning your britches and sleeping in the raw. Do it. So
I don't even know what to say.
Is that an actual way of cooling off in the evening? It's hot, it's stagnant in the house.
I would think that would all depend on what kind of sheets you have, if they're wicking or not wicking, if they're, you know, type of year flannel or not flannel sheets.
Okay, there's truth to that. There's truth to that with the material. But they say if you want to skin your britches and sleep in the raw, a lot of people believe that this is a way to cool off. But experts, they suggest otherwise. I disagree with them. They say sleeping naked can actually trap sweat between the bed and the body. They actually recommend wearing loose, breathable, natural fabrics like cotton or silk is highly recommended. I say skin your britches and sleep in the raw. In your birthday suit.
I'm going to agree with them and wear pajamas, because just think about it. You just said you get hot, you're sweaty. How often are you washing your sheets? I think that's the question, is how often is your bedding getting washed? It's not like your pajamas that might get washed every couple of days. Yeah, I'm with them.
Skin your britches. What about this one? I had heard of this, but I didn't know how real it was or wasn't, and that is like taking salt tablets to replenish electrolytes if you're really, really, really sweating.
I think that is most likely a truth.
That is absolutely false. The Cleveland Clinic, they warn that excess salt can actually worsen dehydration. Instead, you're supposed to be drinking electrolyte-infused water, which I don't necessarily agree with that one to a degree.
Because there's so much sugar in it.
Because there's so much sugar in, yes. But if you have to just replace your electrolytes really quick, grab one of those Gatorades, Powerades, whatever.
Well, that is one thing we have heard from doctors again and again, you and I, in the last couple of months, is making sure you have electrolytes in yourself. So, yes, get yourself one of those power drinks.
Have you ever heard of this one? Placing a cold cabbage leaf on your head.
No. I didn't hear this one.
So obviously, I think this one is fake. The baseball legend Babe Ruth, the great Bambino, he famously kept a chilled cabbage leaf under his cap. Now, while it offers, they say, short-term comfort, experts note that a damp, clean cloth or cooling towel is much more practical and hygienic than having a cabbage leaf. I've never heard of that before.
I think that's a wives' tale.
That is absolutely a wives' tale.
But speaking of a cool cloth, I know, like, I grew up with us doing a lot of fencing, and we'd do it in the early times of the day to beat the heat. But my mom would take handkerchiefs and dip them in cold water and have us wrap them around the back of our neck specifically, and that really helped.
So you can do this. Put maybe a bowl of ice in front of your AC unit or in front of a box fan.
Mm-hmm.
That can help, obviously, circulate air. And I'm going to add to this of trying to beat the heat. Think about your pets, and it's fly season. And you know how, especially with dogs that are outside a lot, and the flies, they can get on their ears and just like eat their ears really raw. You know, that they just...
We see it on dogs, on horses.
Yes. All the time. So it's very important to keep their area clean. Clean up the yard nuggets, because that's what flies are going to go to, keep their area clean. That bowl of water, put that away from maybe where the shady spots, if you can, where pets are. I'm thinking dogs especially, but that bowl of water, clean it every day. Dump it out. It's just a little bit of water. Put fresh stuff in there, but keep it away from where they're kind of hanging out in the shade and trying to cool off.
Okay, but they don't really want hot water to drink either,
no,
though.
No, that's why I say you can keep it in the shade, but just clean it every day.
Oh, okay.
Put fresh water
in
there every day, but put it away from where they're lounging. Clean things up wherever they're at. Just try to keep things clean. And that yard nugget, you got to clean them up too, back. Just kind of some ideas to help you with your pets.
Why are you throwing at me that I have to clean those up? I think that's on your job list.
I'm not saying you do, but just keep that area clean. And say like horses too, or if you've got show calves in the barn or something, if you can provide any kind of ventilation, that helps keep the flies away. If you've got some fans to move some air, or in your dog pen or kennel or something like that, you got an old box fan or you got good fans, circulating air will help keep those flies away as well from landing on the pets. I'm just trying to help a little bit because it's going to be so darn hot. And when the flies come in and they can pester those animals to the point of just losing their ever loving mind.
Well, and if you're like us, we allow our dog in the house. So then you also have to end up watching extra close. Are they bringing flies in with them? Are
exactly
they bringing ticks
right.
in with them?
And the last reminder that I have to beat the heat is check in on your loved ones, on your mom and dad.
Especially the elderly.
Especially the elderly. My dad loves the heat. He just loves it when it's just the sweat's barreling off of him.
It's 80 degrees and the man is wearing a jacket.
Exactly. But what's interesting is when it does get 80 degrees, he covers up because he grew up in the generation. He passed this on to me that the hotter it would get, especially when I lived in a more humid climate, when I lived in Kansas and Oklahoma, the hotter that it got, the more I covered up. Because once you would start getting a little bit of a sweat going, when the breeze hits you, that helps cool you off and insulate you. Just like our grandparents, when they wore long handles, ask your mom and dad what long handles are. But they would wear long handles, and once you'd start to sweat a little bit and a breeze would come and hit you, it would help cool you off. It's your own little air conditioner.
Well, there you have it. Tigger, out of the blue, decided to save all of us from
heat. I did, because it is
beat
so darn, beat the heat, so darn hot outside. Everyone's trying to get past it, but just some of those old wives' tales or wise tales, whatever you want to call them, truth or fiction. So good luck, everybody, trying to beat the heat this weekend.
Stay cool, y'all. We're going to take a short break. We come back, we've got more of The Ben Show. What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cow herds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Video Royale sale is coming up July 27th through the 31st, followed by the Bighorn Classic. To consign to the Bighorn Classic, cattle need to be cataloged by July 31st and videos need to be submitted by August 7th. Again, July 31st for the catalog and August 7th for the videos to consign to the Bighorn Classic. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com. Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. Tigger, I have one little gripe I got to bring up.
Oh, just one little one.
We are into what, you know, I mean, the second weekend of July already, and I've been to county fairs, we've been to 4th of July activities, and I have yet to have had myself any strawberry rhubarb pie.
I thought you were going to say funnel cake.
No, I love
rhubarb. I don't
think rhubarb.
Of going to a county estate fair or anything like that or rodeo and getting strawberry rhubarb pie. I've never even seen that.
That's because you still have not succumbed to the love of rhubarb. And I love rhubarb, and now it's coming to the end of rhubarb season.
I still don't even understand the concept of rhubarb, of how it gets put in all these things. And I know it goes back to the days when I was a wee one. And I remember having a quiche. That's kind of where you bake eggs in the oven, right?
A quiche is not going to have strawberry or rhubarb in it. I'm going to put it this way.
It had rhubarb in it.
It was not a
you
quiche.
You darn
then.
Right. Well,
you ate a Coogan.
No, it wasn't a Coogan. It was an egg dish.
Everyone...
It was an egg bake that was full of rhubarb, and I was a wee one, and I was like traumatized my whole life from that. There was so much rhubarb in it, and from that day forward, why would you put rhubarb in anything?
Right
rhubarb
now,
is a why would you do that?
Everybody knows that you are German, that both of us are Germans from Russia, that we have that kind of ancestry because we're talking about rhubarb and strawberries. And thing is I'm going to tell you that
I've never had strawberry rhubarb pie. I've never had it because I thought it's full of vegetables.
I guarantee that there is no rhubarb.
I don't want vegetables. I don't want my
or in a
strawberry
quiche.
Pie full of vegetables.
I'm telling you, your parents or an aunt or somebody told you it was rhubarb, hoping you'd eat it because really it was peppers or something like that.
It wasn't peppers. It was great big chunks of rhubarb.
Well,
I guarantee it. I don't want vegetables in my strawberry pie.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the second weekend of July already. I haven't had my strawberry rhubarb pie. I need some, as well as those of you that are mixing up your strawberry rhubarb jams and jellies. Feel free to send them my way. That's all for this week, folks. Thanks again for riding along. And if you have anything to add or want us to share on our next upcoming episodes, you can call or text us anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email benradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of the show, want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebenshow.com. Finally, a big thanks again to all you listeners that came along, and whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.